And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studios at Hallis Hall, and welcome into the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. Jeff Joniak with you until 7:30 tonight. Later joined by Bears tight ends coach Frank Smith. Another exciting, dramatic finish, John, at Soldier Field. Unfortunately, didn't send him home happy.
No, I think, again, it comes down to the turnover ratio. We were minus two, and, I think that 6 points, ultimately came down to three was the difference in the game.
What'd you tell your team last night?
Well, same thing. I thought, we started a young quarterback. I think the players are excited about Mitch. It was obvious that the fans were, and, he'll just continue to get better, and we need to get better as a football team.
That is the grasping of the situation, is that there was a ton of excitement in that building. And really, take us back to being on the sidelines when he comes out for the first time. The applause, everybody gets on their feet. It's like everybody's been looking for something to hang on to.
I think he's something big to do that to. The way he handles himself, the way he prepared himself, wasn't perfect, but he'll just continue to get better every week.
John, often you'll hear, especially if you're sitting there watching game on television and it's a young quarterback, and the analysts always are, okay, what is his butterfly situation like? Is he too hyped up? Ball starts sailing and whatnot. That is not the case. That was not the case with Mitchell Trubisky. Settled in right into it and like no problem, but it has happened to guys. They can't handle the moment.
Well, he definitely can. I think his demeanor, the way he commands the huddle, I think he's pretty mature beyond his years, obviously, and he's got a lot of ability to go along with that. So the emotion of the game, the emotion of the moment, wasn't a factor at all.
Was it different for you as well as the head coach on the sideline? You had excitement going in. Your anticipation was too, because you don't know how things are going to go. You never know. But were you genuinely excited too, and seeing how it's all going to fold off?
Well, anytime you have a player, that gets his first opportunity to start a regular season game, there's excitement. But, I knew he'd handle it well, and, I thought for the most part, there's probably a couple plays he'd like to have back, but, all in all, I thought he performed well.
And in addition to that, after the game, he took responsibility for it all, too. Even his teammates have said, hey, he's taken all the burden of it, but we didn't help him in every case.
No, I think, we still had some execution issues, especially in the first half offensively, I think, with some of the penalties, that kind of took us out of scoring position. We had good field position, and, I think, we got a couple points on defense with the safety, as well as, Benny Cunningham's execution of the fake punt, to get seven.
Yeah, obviously the out-of-pocket throws are what everybody's, very excited about, because his eyes look downfield. He's got this little jump thing going on that may be, unique to Mitchell Trubisky on the move. But it does create a lot of consternation on a defensive side of the ball. That's fun to watch. And I'm sure with time, these ad-lib plays that result from breakdowns and so forth, everybody's going to get in sync with each other. Even Zach Miller said, I could just see from his eyes where what he was thinking. And to get to that point, how long might that take to that settle in? Not take that long with this guy.
Well, I don't think so. I think, he's been out there practicing. Obviously, he's been there since the offseason and training camp. So he's built that rapport. He just hasn't been out there recently. And so, with time, I think, all that chemistry comes about.
These penalty things, it must drive you crazy, too. It must drive the players themselves crazy. What can be done, I guess, especially the ones that wipe out the big plays?
Well, I think, he's got to work harder. It's untimely. I don't think anybody knew that was going to be a touchdown run, when it occurred, including that side judge. So, at the end of the day, you've got to be able to overcome those things and, we'll just continue to work.
Trey McBride got on the field, and, he would have had a big catch that was wiped out as well. Looks to be like there's some chemistry with him. He looked very fluid out there running the routes. The time spent here, obviously, it was a rush to learn the offense and so forth. Is this a player that might be an arrow pointing up?
Well, we're hoping so. I think only time will tell. He's a late ad, during the season, in season. And so, he's working very hard to master the offense, and I'm sure he'll get better with time as well.
On the flip side, some struggles, it appears, right now for Marcus Wheaton.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. He hasn't been super, super productive. We turn in the call on that hold that brought back Jordan's run.
Yeah, that was I didn't like looking at that. I can say that. You can't. I mean, that didn't look like much. That was not a sustained hold.
Yeah. Well, I think
that's right. That's
you're
going to
have some of those. You're going to have some of those, and you know that's the process we use. But you know, really, at the end of the day, again, he's basically new to us. I know he's been here for a minute, but you know, he'd been injured for quite some time, and I think he'll just continue to improve as well.
Break down the running game. If Jordan's touchdown would have counted, it would have been another big day. Might have changed the the whole execution and what you did the rest of the game too, because it could have put a total different look on the scoreboard and so forth. But still, he was productive. He had 4 yards of carry against a really, really good Minnesota defense.
Yeah, they are talented. I mean, we knew it would be tough sledding, and you know, I thought Jordan ran the ball hard as well as the rest of our backs. It's just he just was 3 points not enough.
Clearly, everybody knows about Tariq Cohen and what he's capable of doing. Is it change his approach too, because he's looking for daylight at every moment now, and so they had him bottled up pretty good.
Yeah, I think you know, they put a lot of attention to him. You know, even when you know, he came into the game, whether it was their nickel defense, primarily they played against that. So they did a good job. It's a well-coached team, and you know, they doubled him up in some of the route things, but it did open up some other things in the passing game.
Is it something where with him too, he has to maybe take a step back, not try to make something happen at every snap? Every snap's not going to be a 25-yard exciting run or a 30, 40, 50-yard run.
Yeah, like all rookies, I mean, he's learning. You know, I think, you know, he'll see the tape and, you know, he'll move, you know, learn from it and move on.
All right, we're with John Fox. Cheer on your Bears at Soldier Field this season. Single game tickets available. Visit chicagobears.com/tickets today. Bears coming off the loss to the Minnesota Vikings. The turnover ratio still not landing in your favor just yet, but there were some close calls on the defense. Could have had some picks, but until that actually rights itself, you're going to be in these situations.
Yeah, I think, you know, at minus two, you know, we didn't create any. We were close to a fumble in the kicking game on the sideline, but it did just get recovered out of bounds. You know, that's the difference in these close games.
John, Timu left the game, but other than that, are you optimistic it was a pretty clean game injury-wise?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we should be pretty good. The good news is we'll get Danny Trevathan back off of suspension. You know, hopefully that's about it for the injury front.
Yeah, especially inside linebacker, please. You know, you only have so many guys. But I tell you, you know, you think about the guys that had to play the game, they all had starting experience from, you know, Adrian Amos now the last couple of weeks, but Jonathan Anderson, John Timu, Christian Jones, even on the corner with Marcus Cooper, you had guys that have starting experience. So those guys are familiar with the system.
Well, that definitely helps for sure. And, you know, all I think other than one explosive run, I thought our defense played pretty salty the whole night.
Absolutely. We'll talk about the defense in our next segment. Back with John Fox. Let's talk about Akeem, because when he gets it dialed up, in fact, the whole front, especially against Bradford, they knew he was still maybe not 100 because you guys went hunting for him on second and longs and almost every third down rush in that first half. So it was big push. It was great to see. But Akeem is, you know, as we've learned, is very difficult to deal with when he gets right down the middle of somebody's chest bull rushing to the quarterback.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Akeem was, you know, definitely played well enough to win. I think he had a great week of preparation. And, you know, when he's dialing it up, you know, his pad level down, I mean, he's pretty tough to handle, and he had a big night for sure.
And Leonard Floyd, 2 sacks of the safety, which was outstanding, 6 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 3 hits on the quarterback, according to the statistics after the game. I don't know what you guys look at in terms of your tape review and what you add to those numbers or subtract to what overall, but, you know, that was another a great step in the right direction for Leonard Floyd. And what sticks out to me is, okay, they're blocking him, and then you can only block him for so long, and the gap is closed so drastically from the contact point with the offensive lineman to the quarterback. Happened twice in that game. It's out of nowhere he shows up.
Well, I think, you know, pass defense is, you know, really about, you know, the coordination between the front and the coverage. And, you know, I thought our coverage people did a good job, and that buys time for the front to get there. We were pretty dialed in. I thought, you know, overall defensively, especially against their big threats, and they had a lot of explosive plays, both Diggs and Thielen. You know, all in all, I thought it was a good performance.
10 hits on the quarterback overall last night. Does that sound like a fair number? That's at least what they put on the paper last night after the game.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, like you said, the pass defense was outstanding against, you know, a team that had pretty good success the first 4 weeks.
All right, so the switch to Case Keenum changed the approach again by the Vikings. It kind of quieted down what they were trying to do offensively. That drive out of the locker room definitely gave them a boost, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they came out no huddle. They tried to run the ball a little bit more. They're completely different quarterbacks as far as style. You know, we had seen, you know, only the one game against New Orleans with Bradford and, you know, Keenum the last three. So, you know, they stuck him in. It wasn't like it was going to be a strange, you know, strange thing for us. You know, I think the loss of Timu hurt us a little bit in the second half, you know, as far as just communication. But, you know, those guys stepped in, Jonathan Anderson as well as Christian Jones, and, you know, and did a pretty good job.
You know, that can't be understated either. I mean, you have guys with, you know, running the show with the defense and so forth. You know, that takes time to adjust to. I mean, you're putting guys in there that really haven't done it.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. You know, I think you like to, you know, go through the game, you know, with the guys that practice all week. But, you know, that's part of the NFL, and you got to adjust. And, you know, I think, you know, we went in without Danny Trevathan, so we were a little bit light to start with. You know, and then when Timu went down, you know, again, it was an adjustment. Our coaches did a good job, and our players did a good job adjusting.
Yeah, defense overall, I mean, you mentioned the McKinnon run, obviously, 58-yard touchdown run. I don't know what happened on that one. I haven't even looked back at it yet, but it was the first 20-plus run you guys given up all year.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we didn't execute it as well as we needed to. We missed a tackle, you know, and again, it was a good play on their part.
Now, looking at numbers also, average game per pass play for the Vikings last night, just 3.9. You won a lot of games. Defensively speaking, anyway, if that were to continue. And if you take out the McKinnon run, which you can't, just 3.3 yards a carry. So the defense overall, very nice job.
Yeah, I think, you know, you hold an opponent to, you know, 17, 20 points, you got your chance, you know, you got a chance, yeah, to win just like we did. And, you know, like I keep saying, is the turnover ratio is the big one.
And without five guys who started in week one on that defensive side of the ball. Christian Jones led the team with 9 tackles. Adrian Amos, it appears he's a different type of player right now after being seasoned for a couple of years in a starting role, taking a step back to maybe look at things from a different perspective. 8 tackles. He had that big hit, near interception early in the game. Am I right on target with that? Is the arrow pointing up for Adrian Amos?
Well, I think, you know, the last couple of years he's gotten a lot of play time, and, you know, that experience is invaluable. So, you know, Adrian's got a good understanding of what we're doing, and, you know, hopefully he continues to improve.
The other thing is the sudden change that has hurt you guys. Obviously, the defense has been put in some really difficult – that's their job. And again, last night, they get a drive start on the 13-yard line and the 28. But they've been sturdy, even in those situations. They I think, I mean, you got to give them credit for not, you know, just folding their tent.
No, I think, you know, they've competed for 60 minutes. And, you know, I think holding those guys to field goals in both those instances was you know, helped give us a chance to win the game.
The Floyd penalty, he's upset about it. What did you think of that situation?
Well, I think it was the design of the play. You know, it's one of those other ones that we'll turn in. I can't comment too much on it, but you know, I don't know how big of a factor it would have been. It would have given our offense a little bit more time on the clock had we, you know, forced them to kick the field goal sooner. You know, it's part of the game. You have to overcome a lot of things in this league.
First 5 weeks, you've faced an enormous number of skill position players of note in this league. And Thielen and Diggs, obviously, you mentioned it just a moment ago. But when you come out of that with just 38 yards, I know Diggs dinged his groin or whatnot, but, you know, that's a heck of a job.
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll just continue to work hard, get better, and we have to do it in all three phases. And, you know, we just came up a little bit short last night.
One more segment with Coach John Fox. One back is Howard. Everybody else stacked on the line. Snap, Trubisky, bootlegging near side. Eyes downfield, going to throw it into the end zone. Pass is tipped and caught for the touchdown. Zach Miller, middle of the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! 20 yards. Mitchell Trubisky to Zach Miller on the tip by Anderson Dejo. The first NFL touchdown for Mitchell Trubisky, the number 2 pick in the NFL draft. Mitchell Trubisky's first NFL touchdown, followed with a nifty 2-point conversion. I guess that would fall in the razzle-dazzle category?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, it's a play that's not all as easy as it looks. You know, you're not traveling very far, but, you know, it's a short field.
Tight quarters.
Yeah. You've got a lot of defenders in that short area. So, you know, I thought the coaches did a good job in the design, and I thought our players did a great job of executing.
Honestly, as I look back at it, and I was even laughing during the broadcast because, you know, I thought, are they deceiving me here? I don't know how the ball get there, but it was a bit of a shell game, and the thing about it, it's almost like a fast break in basketball, you know, as you're getting to the hoop and a 3-on-1. I mean, it was boom, 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 boom. I love it. I think that's, I mean, is that the kind of stuff that a quarterback like Mitchell, those types of skill sets and so forth, you can throw stuff on the blackboard and do some things?
Well, I think, you know, if you were doing that on the minus two, I don't know that that'll be designed for that. You know, the way it worked out was good. They were short defenders, and he went into the end zone untouched.
Yeah, it was a very fun play, though. Really brought the house down. But, you know, Trubisky just getting that first touchdown throw, too, is monumental for him. And I know all the writers are writing, oh, you know, this is – they were – every first that he had, every first, they were already beginning to, quote, write the legend of Mitchell Trubisky after one game. You know, certainly that's not how it works.
No, I think, you know, we really had confidence in Mitch, how he'd handle it. Thought he did an excellent job, and, you know, he'll just get better. You know, there was a couple, you know, errors as far as, you know, intricate things like mic points and, you know, audibles from what side based on the look. But, you know, those are growing pains that you're going to live with any rookie. And all in all, I thought he performed well, and he'll just get better.
Even on the final, the throw that he tried to ad-lib with Zach Miller, you know, just put a little more height on. I mean, again, that's a learning process, but you're going to get those type of plays more often than not where they're going to be big plays with a guy like him. He's that type of quarterback.
Well, I think you saw earlier in the game, I think we had a 3rd and 13. He broke the pocket, got the first down. You know, some early drives, you know, getting out of the pocket on boots and then finding guys very accurate on the move. So there's a lot of positives that happened as well. And like I said, he'll learn from it. He'll watch the video and, you know, he'll get better for it.
Bears head coach John Fox here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. The Bears Coaches Show coming up after the top of the hour. Frank Smith, the tight ends coach, will join us. Let's talk about that special teams play. That was a beauty.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jeff Rogers, Darius Swinton, our special teams coaches, you know, found that. And, you know, we practice it. Our players have to identify what the look is and be able to check to it. And, you know, it was very, very well executed. You know, Pat threw a nice touch ball, and Benny had a good finish on the catch and run.
I went scurrying through my notes to see if he ever at any level threw touchdown, but it didn't happen. Not even, I guess, in high school he was a tight end and a punter and a kicker and a linebacker. And then in college I thought, you know, maybe, but no, nothing. So that's a first.
Oh, yeah.
Not bad, huh?
No.
That was a nice throw.
He upped our QBR for
sure.
Yeah,
he did. Plays like that, though. And then the two-point conversion, is it true that you can work on, all the way back to training camp, a play, and you keep it in your, you know, you keep it over here a little bit and pull it out only for the right time, down and distance, circumstance of the game? It could be something you worked in training camp, they'll come out in week 12, and you might win a game on it. Is that true? Is that happen in the NFL?
Yeah, I think it happens all over the league. I mean, I was watching the Super Bowl this past year, and in 2003, the New England Patriots ran a direct snap two-point play. 10 years later, they ran the exact same play in this year's Super Bowl. So a lot of teams do that. They have a, you know, a long history of different plays and situations and how they use them, and no different in our two-point play.
I think the average Joe might believe that you guys are staying up at night and something pops in your head while you're sleeping and you turn on the lamp and you're at the, you know, on your bedstand, you start writing down a play. Does this happen for you ever? And have you thought plays through just in the most bizarre of circumstances, driving up to get a cup of coffee or on the golf course or whatever?
Yeah, we've added adjustments.
I'm saying you. You personally.
Yeah, we've added adjustments, whether it's been, you know, as a defensive coordinator, you know, guys that I've coached with on offense or myself, you know, night before a game, you know, we've added things and walked through at the hotel. So, you know, these things are, you're continually trying to game plan, put your team in a position to win. And, you know, I think most coaches in this league do that.
Have you designed offensive plays in your career?
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the more memorable times was, you know, we made the move in Denver to Tim Tebow, and just different option plays that we were able to utilize in that season. You know, so it's, you know, you're always designing things, thinking of things to put your guys in the best position to win.
All right, that's intriguing to me. That's fun. And the next time you do and it works, let us know. I think I'll get a kick out of that. All right, let's look at the Ravens real quick. Obviously, Joe Flacco, a Super Bowl quarterback, a team that with a reputation of being a tough, nasty defense. Are those things all holding true at this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, they've always been tough defensively, and, you know, they're playing pretty aggressive right now. They'll get up in your face as far as their coverage unit. You know, the offense has gotten off to a little bit of a slow start because of some injuries, but, you know, they put it together pretty well last week against the Oakland Raiders, you know, out in Oakland. So, you know, they're coming around. You know, John Harbaugh does an outstanding job, and their organization does a great job, and they're tough at home for sure.
I'd imagine that conversation before the game will involve both of you guys. IR, they got 16 guys on IR already.
Right.
The injury situation. Misery-loving company in that regard.
No doubt. You look around the league, and, you know, their injuries are up, and, you know, it's part of the game you have to deal with, and everybody's doing it.
All right, Coach, good luck game planning. Short week. Go at it.
All right, we'll do. Thanks, Jeff.
That's Bears head coach John Fox.
He's a baller, man. He's out there trying to make a play. That's his gift, is getting outside of the pocket and making a play. Just a loft ball. We're good. That's not on him. I need to go and break that up, in my opinion. For me and for our football team, I need to see and go contest that throw.
That is Bears tight end Zach Miller last night after the Bears lost to the Minnesota Vikings, talking to our Zach Zabin on the sidelines after the game. And welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show with tight ends coach Frank Smith. So that's something you'd expect to hear from a guy like Zach Miller.
Totally,
right there.
Totally, yeah. Just always looking to try and help out his other teammates. And when someone's trying to help him make a play, I mean, like he said, you know, help the other guy out if he's in need, you know, try and break that ball up.
And those type of plays that, you know, it's a little bit of a ad lib situation. Yep. What are the rules? What are the rules? Well, even for the players, you know, it's an eye contact thing. It's a chemistry thing. But this is a new quarterback.
Yeah. It's, you know, you go into, you know, some of our drills and stuff when those situations break down into work on the parts of the field where you should be targeting. But, yeah, a lot of it is the field between them and the quarterback and, the guys involved in the – scrambling drill.
With each of the position groups offensively, the move to Mitch, what did it mean to this offense in terms of each position group and how their approach to the game and what they should anticipate? Because it's not a guy that's just, it's not a pure pocket passer right now. This is a guy that you're going to move out, roll around. Does it change how they look at offense right now?
Well, I think, you know, in regards to, you know, the skill positions with, you know, all quarterbacks knowing what they, you know, can do and what they're looking for and stuff like that is, you know, important for them to be on the same page as far as the passing game goes down. But, you know, whether, you know, early in the season with Mike or Mitch, I mean, ultimately just the timing standpoint of what each play is going to require and what the quarterbacks are looking for out of the routes is the most important things. And I think that the good thing is most of the position groups understand that, and they're, you know, spend extra time with the quarterbacks after practice, you know, extra meeting time to make sure they all get on the same page.
I didn't interrupt you, but now that you have a baseline, so to speak, because he had his first NFL start in a regular season game, and, you know, obviously they worked with him in the preseason and in training camp and so forth, watched him on scout team. Now can they have dialogue, all these skill position players, dialogue with the quarterback and vice versa, each day leading up to the next game to kind of fine-tune that innate instinct to find each other and make plays?
Yeah, I think, you know, the communication, I mean, between all the quarterbacks and the guys catching routes is always, it's always going on ever since training camp. And just as, you know, you have a quarterback change, you know, what he's expecting and as far as the timing and how he's reading it out, you know, making sure that all that's fine-tuned with him is definitely important.
We're with Frank Smith, the Bears tight ends coach.
Trubisky and the gun, Howard to his right. White hair on the ball. Snap. Takes the handoff. No, they pitch it inside to Miller, and he pitches it back to Trubisky for the two-point conversion. Oh, yeah, and a Heisman pose by Zach Miller, who had his hand on the ball on the flip. Great devised two-point conversion. Sleight of hand by the Bears offense.
Yeah, well, we forgot one name in there in the play call. That's Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard gets it, gives it to Zach Miller in the flip to Mitchell Trubisky. Heck of a play, two-pointer. You have that one saved for special occasions, right,
yeah,
Frank Smith?
Yeah, Dahl's got a couple tricks up his sleeve. So that's a play that, you know, the right time, right situation. We're waiting for it, and obviously that was it. So Praise can be to Dowell. He's been holding on to that one for a while.
Well, and it is, you know, I mentioned this with Coach Fox earlier in the program, tight quarters. So one gap burst by a defensive lineman could blow up the whole thing, but it had to be quick. It's almost like a little bit of basketball on turf there, and then you had your guy, Zach Miller, with the ball in his hands, the former quarterback who ran that kind of offense.
Oh, yeah.
Nebraska Omaha is right up his alley.
Yeah, I know. He's been saying that for a long time. I got this. I've been doing this, you know, for a long time. But, yeah, it was a well-designed play, and we've practiced it, make sure the execution, because there are some variables to it. But had a lot of confidence in the guys who were going to execute it and went out and did it.
And do you, as coaches, get as big a kick out of seeing it run perfectly as do fans who appreciate the end result of a touchdown?
Oh, totally. Totally. You watch that one and you're just like, oh, just like in practice. You know, like it just happened exactly like we thought. So, yeah, those are the ones that are fun.
I did ask Coach this earlier, too, as he designed offensive plays in his legs. Of course, I have. And, you know, is everybody designing plays as an idea to your offensive coordinator, Dowell Loggins? Do you go through stuff like this? You come up with any gems of your own?
Yeah, well, you know, the whole offensive staff gives input towards, you know, plays in the plan and, you know, assisting Dowell with what, you know, he wants to do as far as game day. But, yeah, everyone has, you know, areas that they specialize in, you know, assist with in the game planning. But, you know, ultimately calling that play and stuff was Dowell's call, and it was those are the fun ones when you watch them work out that way.
I know it's kind of hard to believe, but this actually does happen. People do write plays on napkins. Hey, could you give this to Coach Fox for me, please?
Yeah.
You know, you go to a party or a function. I mean, it's happened to me in my career as a broadcaster. I'm sure it's happened to you too, friends.
Oh,
hey, here, give this give this to Sean Payton for me.
Oh, it's irony. Say that back when I was a graduate assistant in college, we used to have the Cradle of Coaches Clinic, and every year our keynote speaker would be someone who either worked at the school or was an alum. And the one year, my first year doing it, was Sean Payton came back. And
this is at Miami of Ohio.
This is at Miami of Ohio, yeah. And we're at the restaurant having dinner, and all of a sudden Sean starts drawing up plays on napkins for our offensive coordinator. Next thing you know, we're installing one of the plays, and, you know, 2 days later for our spring practice. So, yeah, I mean, coaches, I mean, if you have a piece of paper and a pen, there's no mercy as far as coming up with a perfect play.
As was the special teams case, and that had to be perfectly executed also on the touchdown from Patrick O'Donnell to Benny Cunningham. Obviously, these are fun moments that it does ignite the sideline a little bit too, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of energy all throughout the game, and I think a lot of it feeds from the crowd. The crowd was awesome. I mean, people were excited, were into it. The crowd was loud all game, and that naturally, you know, the players feed off of that emotion that comes out of the stadium. So Soldier was rocking right from the start.
It wasn't rewarded, obviously, for them with a win, but do you see building blocks as you move through this? And it's been a challenging first five games.
Yeah.
Given opponents and situations, obviously the quarterback changes, all kinds of building towards something down the road.
Yeah. There is always positive inside of negative things, and then, you know, conversely, there can be the same thing. So, you know, the stuff we're going to work on, we know what we need to do, and, you know, fortunately, we get to go back to work tomorrow getting ready for Baltimore. So, you know, those are taking the positives inside of, you know, the loss and using that to get that tuned up so on Sunday we can come out and you know, put it all together positive with a positive result.
I just did a feature on Bears Game Day Live for our Fox TV show, our Bears show, on Zach Miller, and some of it was about breaking in a new quarterback like he did in Jacksonville when he was there as a young player, but also just his journey again overcoming another season-ending injury the year before, and you know, essentially, you know, why he keeps doing it, or did he think it was over, and just the fun he has playing the game. And so last night I saw that same exuberance from him, and I think Mitchell plays the game that way as well. You've seen him in practice every day through this entire process. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mitchell loves playing football, and I'd say that other guys in his rookie class, that's the same thing for them. I mean, we're fortunate with this class having that passion for football and that love of it, because, you know, it's a long season. It's very time consuming physically and mentally, And to have that love for football really makes it, you know, all the work going to it that much more rewarding and enjoyable when you love it.
We'll explore the rest of the tight end unit with Coach Frank Smith here in a moment. Back with you from Hattleshaw, our remaining moments with Frank Smith. All right, let's break down some of the other players on your unit. Namely, I want to talk about Adam Shaheen and his development because he's got the size, he's got everything, but he doesn't have the experience against, you know, big-time competition. When you factored that into how to develop this player, mm-hmm. what did you have to do?
Oh, well, the biggest thing with Adam was you could see that, you know, in practice, he's displayed all the traits you're looking for as far as an all-around wide tight end. And just as far as with the way the depth in the room has been, you know, in season, it's just been easy to, you know, with DM and Zach, you can roll him in situations, you know, where we're getting three tight ends, 13 personnel, or two tight end with the fullback 22 personnel stuff. I mean, it's able to put him in situations where you can help him as he's, you know, growing with understanding how the speed of this game is, the physicality of the game, and just how much the tight end has to know as far as you can line up anywhere at any time and have to execute a route or a blocking scheme. So all that has been factored in, and he's doing a great job with what we've been asking of him so far.
Obviously, it was well documented. He and Mitch tight immediately. You think that'll translate onto the field one day?
Yeah, I think, you know, whenever you can have a strong bond with someone when you first come in and fortunately for him, as a quarterback. But, yeah, I think because they shared they're both love football, high football IQ guys. So that bond, you know, has been very beneficial for him because ultimately, you know, what the quarterback's thinking on plays as far as what his progression is or how he's reading stuff, it's always you get it, you know, when you get to room with a guy, that inside information sometimes can help you in knowing how you're going to run a route or what the quarterback wants is expecting out of that route.
Having another veteran like Deion Sims in the mix too, how can his eyes and experience help Mitchell?
Oh, you know, Deion's been, I mean, yeah, his run blocking, you know, that's what he's, mm-hmm. you know, done a really phenomenal job for us so far this season. But yeah, just his experience because, I mean, coming out of Miami, I mean, he was in, you know, Adam's system down in Miami. And there are, you know, obviously with Adam being here 2 years ago, there are a lot of parallels to his system and ours. So, I mean, his veteran experience, I mean, he has a lot of understanding to the routes that Mitchell's going to be throwing and what he wants. So their communication has been really good and strong so far.
And lastly, in our last 30 seconds here before we let you go, Daniel Brown, he was active this week, so hasn't been involved in the offense just yet. But this is a former wide receiver who last year impressed down the stretch.
Yeah, very much so. Dan's been doing a great job on special teams, you know, and just, you know, every week you just, you know, when you're active on game day, it's just whatever role is going to be required of you. And have the complete confidence in Dan, and he's done a great job in practice and doing a good job on special teams.
We don't have time to discuss the Ravens in too much depth, but you're just getting into them. But I guess it would be safe to say, even at age 35, just simply block Terrell Suggs, right?
Yeah. It's incredible he's been there that long.
Yeah, he's outstanding.
Playing at a high level.
Bears tight end coach Frank Smith, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Earlier this evening, Coach Fox on the poise of his rookie quarterback Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, I think he's something big to do that to. You know, I think you know, the way he handles himself, the way he prepared himself, you know, wasn't perfect, but you know, he'll just continue to get better every week.
John, often you'll hear, especially if you're sitting there watching game on television and it's a young quarterback, and you know the analysts always are okay. What is his butterfly situation like? Is he too hyped up? Ball starts sailing and whatnot. That is not the case. That was not the case with Mitchell Trubisky. Settled in right into it and, like, no problem. But it has happened to guys. You know, they can't handle the moment.
Well, he definitely can. And I think, you know, his demeanor, you know, the way, you know, he commands the huddle, you know, I think he's, you know, pretty mature beyond his years, obviously. And, you know, he's got a lot of ability to go along with that. So, you know, the emotion of the game, you know, the emotion of the moment, you know, wasn't a factor at all.
Was it different for you as well? As the head coach on the sideline, you had excitement going in. Your anticipation was, too, because you don't know how things are going to go. You never know. But were you genuinely excited too, and seeing how it's all going to fold out.
Well, anytime you have a player, you know, that gets his first opportunity to start a regular season game, you know, there's excitement. But, you know, I knew he'd handle it well, and you know, I thought for the most part there's probably a couple plays he'd like to have back, but you know, all in all, I thought he performed well.
And in addition to that, after the game, he took responsibility for it all, too. Even his teammates just said, hey, he's taken all the burden of it, but we didn't help him in every case.
No, I think, you know, we still had some execution issues, especially in the first half offensively, I think, with some of the penalties, you know, that kind of took us out of scoring position. You know, we had good field position, and, you know, I think, you know, we got a couple points on defense with the safety, as well as, you know, Benny Cunningham's execution of the fake punt, you know, to get set.
Yeah, obviously the out-of-pocket throws are what everybody's, you know, very excited about because his eyes look downfield. He's got this little jump thing going on that may be, you know, unique to Mitchell Trubisky on the move. But it does create a lot of consternation on a defensive side of the ball. That's fun to watch. And I'm sure with time, you know, these ad-lib plays that result from breakdowns and so forth, everybody's going to get in sync with each other. Even Zach Miller said, you know, I could just see from his eyes where he what he was thinking. And to get to that point, how long might that take to that settle in? It may not take that long with this guy.
Well, I don't think so. You know, I think, you know, he's been out there practicing. You know, obviously he's been there since you know, the offseason and training camp. So he's built that rapport. He just hasn't been out there recently. And so, you know, with time, I think, you know, all that chemistry comes about.
These penalty things, it must drive you crazy, too. It must drive the players themselves crazy. What can be done, I guess, especially the ones that wipe out the big plays?
Well, I think, you know, he's got to work harder. It's untimely. You know, I don't think anybody knew that was going to be a touchdown run, you know, when it occurred, including that side judge. So, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to be able to overcome those things and, you know, just continue to work.
Trey McBride got on the field, and, you know, he would have had a big catch that was wiped out as well. It looks to be like there's some chemistry with him. He looked very fluid out there running the routes. The time spent here, obviously, it was a rush to learn the offense and so forth. Is this a player that might be an arrow pointing up?
Well, we're hoping so. You know, I think only time will tell. You know, he's a late add, you know, I mean, by, you know, during the season, in season. And so, you know, he's working very hard to master the offense, and I'm sure he'll get better with time as well.
On the flip side, some struggles, it appears, right now for Marcus Wheaton.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, I don't know. He hasn't been super, super productive. We turn in the call on that hole that brought back Jordan's run.
Yeah, that was I didn't like looking at that. I can say that. You can't. I mean, that didn't look like much.
You know,
that was not a sustained hold.
Yeah, well, I think
that's right. That's right.
You're going to have some of those. You're going to have some of those, and you know, that's the process we use. But you know, really, at the end of the day, again, he's basically new to us. I know he's been here for a minute, but you know, he'd been injured for quite some time, and I think he'll just continue to improve as well.
All right, that's going to wrap up tonight's show. For head coach John Fox, tight end coach Frank Smith, and thanks to Dan Borelli, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Bears-Ravens from Baltimore Sunday, starting with a 9 a.m. pregame and a noon kickoff. That's going to do it for us tonight. Have a great evening, everybody.